The Germans, as Peter said, are a careful people. A man met us on the quay at Rotterdam. I was a bit afraid that something might have turned up in Lisbon to discredit us, and that our little friend might have warned his pals by telegram. But apparently all was serene. Peter and I had made our plans pretty carefully on the voyage. We had talked nothing but Dutch, and had kept up between ourselves the role of Maritz's men, which Peter said was the only way to play a part well. Upon my soul, before we got to Holland, I was not very clear in my own mind what my past had been. Indeed, the danger was that the other side of my mind, which should have been busy with the great problem, would get atrophied, and that I should soon be mentally on a par with the ordinary backveld desperado. We had agreed that it would be best to get into Germany at once, and when the agent on the quay told us of a train at midday, we decided to take it. I had another fit of cold feet before we got over the border. At the station there was a king's messenger whom I had seen in France, and a war correspondent who had been trotting round our part of the front before Loos. I heard a woman speaking pretty clean-cut English, which amid the hoarse Dutch jabber sounded like a lark among crows. There were copies of the English papers for sale, and English cheap editions. I felt pretty bad about the whole business, and wondered if I should ever see these homely sights again. But the mood passed when the train started. It was a clear blowing day, and as we crawled through the flat pastures of Holland, my time was taken up answering Peter's questions. He had never been in Europe before, and formed a high opinion of the farming. He said he'd reckoned that such land would carry 4 sheep a morgen. We were thick in talk when we reached the frontier station and jolted over a canal bridge into Germany. I had expected a big barricade with barbed wire and entrenchments, but there was nothing to see on the German side but half a dozen sentries in the field grey I had hunted at Loos. An undercover officer with a black and gold button of the Landstrom hoiked us out of the train, and we were all shepherded into a big bare waiting room where a large stove burned. They took us 2 at a time into an inner room for examination. I had explained to Peter all about this formality, but I was glad we went in together, for they made us strip to the skin, and I had to curse him pretty seriously to make him keep quiet. The men who did the job were fairly civil, but they were mighty thorough. They took down a list of all we had in our pockets and bags, and all the details from the passports the Rotterdam agent had given us. We were dressing when a man in a lieutenant's uniform came in with a paper in his hand. He was a fresh-faced lad of about 20, with short-sighted, spectacled eyes. "Herr Brandt," he called out. I nodded. "And this is Herr Pienaar?" he asked in Dutch. He saluted. "Gentlemen, I apologize. I am late because of the slowness of the Herr Commandant's motor car. Had I been in time, you would not have been required to go through this ceremony. We have been advised of your coming, and I am instructed to attend you on your journey. The train for Berlin leaves in half an hour. Pray do me the honor to join me in a bock." With a feeling of distinction, we stalked out of the ordinary ruck of passengers and followed the lieutenant to the station restaurant. He plunged at once into conversation, talking the Dutch of Holland, which Peter, who had forgotten his school days, found a bit hard to follow. He was unfit for active service because of his eyes and a weak heart, but he was a desperate fire-eater in that stuffy restaurant. By his way of it, Germany could gobble up the French and the Russians whenever she cared, but she was aiming at getting all the Middle East in her hands first, so that she could come out conqueror with the practical control of half the world. "Your friends the English," he said, grinning, "will come last. When we have starved them and destroyed their commerce with our undersea boats, we will show them what our navy can do. For a year they have been wasting their time in brag and politics, and we have been building great ships, oh, so many. My cousin at Kiel," and he looked over his shoulder. But we never heard about that cousin at Kiel. A short sunburnt man came in, and our friend sprang up and saluted, clicking his heels like a pair of tongs. "These are the South African Dutch, Herr Captain," he said. The newcomer looked us over with bright, intelligent eyes, and started questioning Peter in the tall. It was well that we had taken some pains with our story, for this man had been years in German Southwest, and knew every mile of the borders.